Your story. Go.
Good morning, all. I've been listening very intently to the things that have been shared with us for the last couple of weeks by Karen and by Sarah. And Andy asked me to come up with a punchy title for my talk, which I haven't managed to do yet. And I wondered whether we could remember the previous punchy talks from the last 2 weeks. So anybody going to stab at it? What's Karen's? Have you been bitten by the toxic spider by God? I'm going to struggle to match that one. And Sarah's from last week? Shame is a liar. So those of you that missed out, those two very good talks are online and you can listen to them. But you'll notice that the way I've introduced that is that there's been two young ladies speaking to us. So I think that they thought that we needed a bit of balance. And now they've rolled out an old man. However, I'm not as old as some in the room, so I'm going to be continuing to be in my bubble of being young, middle-aged. Is that okay? Yeah, good, good. So I want to talk to you a little bit about my life this morning, share something with you. But also, don't just listen to it and think, oh, that's nice for him. I want you to listen to it as if to say, well, okay, yeah, that is nice and nice for him, but what is it that I can take from today that might help me in the life that I am leading? Because what we're doing is we're sharing testimonies. Testimonies are about our life so far. So a testimony always grows, always changes, always gets added to. So I'm going to give you a bit about my testimony up to date. However, it will change, it will move on, it will get better and better as I get older and maybe a little bit wiser. And I just want to say right now that yes, I can sometimes be funny, but I can sometimes not be funny. So if you're sitting there thinking he's trying to be funny and he's not, then just go with me, all right? Because you're grace. Grace and humour is a great thing. So I just want to start by just praying and just we've had a great time so far, and sometimes I think in church we have a good time and we sing our songs and then we move forward too quickly. So I'm actually a bit like Jane now. I would have quite happily carried on sitting there or singing for a while, but I've only got another 15 minutes, haven't I? So I better get on. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our good, good Father, in all that that means. And Lord, that means so many different things to so many of us in the room when we think of our relationship maybe with our earthly fathers and all that that brings. The ups and downs maybe of those relational things, that when we think of you as our Father, are we comparing you to them? And Father, can we just be with you right now and remember that you are a good, good, perfect Father. And in Lord, in all of your ways, you are always with us. You never leave us. You never turn from us. But Father, we sometimes turn from you. We sometimes do our own things. We sometimes allow life's situations to encourage us to turn our back on you or to walk away from you or just for a period of time, Father, just do what we think is the right thing to do. And Lord, will you forgive us at those moments? But Father, we just thank you that through your grace, when we realise that we've done that and we turn back to you, you are still there looking after us. And we think of, Lord, the image of the footprints in the sand when we turn back and we look at those times when we feel we've gone away from you, that we look back and we see that set of footprints in the sand and we believe, Father, that that tells us we've been on our own, that you remind us that at that time is the time that you were carrying us. So Lord, will you make that image of one set of footprints in our mind as we go through our lives, as we keep our eyes focused on you and your plans for our lives, will we hold that image and remember that you are there always for us. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so some of you might not know me. I am a fairly quiet individual that likes to keep myself to myself. I'm a little bit shy. Not. So I've done all those tests, you know, Myers-Briggs and all the rest of that. So apparently I've had to tussle with the fact that I am not an introvert. And that actually I did another test last year on Empower that actually changed the way that I'm thinking about myself. So go with me to this morning and just go with some of the things that I say, because I want to share at the end, and by the end, that the title for my talk is, and for some of you this might be in the wrong order, including my wife, who loved to encourage me this morning, it's about pressing on and pressing in. So one of the things that has been keeping me going for a few years now is the expression to press on. And to press on believing in the things that I've just said in my prayer, that the Heavenly Father is my Father. He is a good Father. To press on with Him in all things. For those of you that don't know, I was a police officer for 30 years. And during my time as a police officer, I joined very young. Hence the reason I've now retired for the last 4 years and am still young middle-aged. So I've had a full career already. And that was my first career. And some of the things that told me and taught me during that time have been really, really amazing. It's made me the man that I am. And I am a man. And I know that sounds silly, but that's one thing that I want to get through today, is that men can be followers of Jesus. And I follow various groups, and some of them are men's groups, and sometimes they do get a little bit manly, and you know, unless I'm a man and I've done a horrendous thing in life and I've turned away, then I'm not a real man. Because I'm a man, I've had to face up to some things in my career as a man. And one of the things that I went through very early on was the whole thing of once I'd become a believer. So I became a believer as a young lad. I was about 15, I think, when I was at Covenanter Camp. I was raised in a Christian family. So I come from a family, both my mum and dad believe in Jesus. So I had a good start in understanding. I did the normal things. Went to Sunday school and didn't really fit in Sunday school. Because you're looking at me now thinking, yeah, that's noisy, Phil. But this will surprise you, that as a 4- and 5-year-old, I was noisy, Phil. I actually haven't changed. I've had to accept that title. It might not surprise some of you, but it is me. It's my character. And sometimes you meet people and you think, oh my goodness, you know, calm down. You know, who are you? You're in my face. What are you trying to prove? Why are you being like that? Well, I am being like this because this is me. Okay? And as a 5-year-old, as a 6-year-old, I went to Sunday school and I struggled fitting in. And I shouldn't have done, because I was I have two brothers and a sister, of some of the leaders in Sunday school. The Sunday school leaders were my mum and dad's friends. My mum and dad were in church leadership. I was behaving like I shouldn't have behaved, really. And one memory I have from Sunday school, I knew I was struggling at this point when, I think I was about 8, and I was really struggling, and I was getting fed up of getting sent out and sitting in the corner and sitting out the back room. And if you can't behave, then you're going to, okay, I know where I've got to go. And I thought, you know, even at that young age, I thought, oh, this is wrong. And so I walked home. at the right old age of 8, which nowadays is horrendous, isn't it? Because we think, oh my goodness, young child, vulnerable, on their own, walking the streets, where was their parents, rotten parents, they're rubbish and all the rest of it. But my parents didn't know that I was walking home, so I walked 3.5 miles home. And when I knocked on the door, and my mum and dad looked at me, and what are you doing here? I said, I've had enough of that Sunday school. I'm coming home. So I tell you that story because some of us don't always fit into that mould, okay? Some of us don't fit in the lovely life that other people believe that we should be leading. So that's my background. So when I became a believer for myself at the age of 15, 16, it was a really good conversion experience. But then I left home. Then I joined the police cadets. And then I had this whole new world open to me that I knew nothing about. So I was commencing my police career. I was in London, served up there for a few years, and been involved in a few things and rushed around and, you know, getting the normal fights, and I was at Broadwater Farm when that all kicked off. I went to Brixton for a little while. My most endearing experience of police in Brixton, although I wasn't based in Brixton, we used to send, you know, big heavy police force into a particular area to try and quell any public disturbance, and I was part of that. And I remember standing in the back of an unmarked van, and when I say a van, it's a removal van. It wasn't a police vehicle, because we were going to surprise this rebellious community that the police were on their way. Well, when I look back, I mean, it must have been pretty obvious that we were on our way. But anyway, we thought we were being very clever. So we hid in this van. There was about 30 of us in this van. And we were going to creep into the middle of the Routon Road in Brixton, where there was a lot of tension. There was a lot of fighting. Petrol bombs. But if you remember the old police images of policemen with their helmets tied under their thing, holding dustbin lids as shields. Do you remember that, some of you? Yeah? Before the riot shields and all that. Well, that was us. We thought we were the bee's knees. And it was hilarious, because as the driver pulled off, all of us fell over in the back of this van. I mean, it was carnage. I mean, we were laughing. We were rolling around on each other. I think I got more bruised at that point of the day than I did anything else I did. So we rocked up into the Routon Road, creeping, thinking we were, and the doors open. Ha ha! The police are here. Well, there was a reception committee for us. We couldn't understand how they knew we were coming. But as we piled out the back of this van to keep order, we were absolutely bombarded by everything that you can think of. And some of it wasn't very nice. Mainly the liquid stuff is not very nice. But we did our thing for the day, you know, and we chuckled for a couple of days after that when we went back and we looked at it, and, you know, there was a few fights and a few things that I'm not very proud of. And you know, the things that... But did we restore order? I don't know. But that's part of my life. That's part of the history. I'm standing here with those memories that has made me the man that I am standing here. I can't get rid of that. So I've got to think about that and deal with it. And how has that influenced who I've become? So roll on my police career for some years. So I ended up becoming a detective in Essex Police. And I was part of the Central Detective Unit at Chelmsford. And we dealt with the most serious crime in Essex. So things that you might remember that have gone on. For those of you that are local, there was a young lad called Barry Bradford murdered in Brentwood when I was part of that investigation team, and ended up arresting the main guy that did it, interviewing him, and fortunately really violent, horrible bully of a man. Do you know when I say I'm a man? Okay, he thought he was a man because he was a bully. Now I, as a man, stand against bullies. Always have done, always will do. Sometimes some people misunderstand me, okay, and think that I'm a bit of a bully. Well, I'm not. I'm just sometimes being assured in who I am, and I stand against bullies. Well, he was a bully of a man, and he killed this other man that was pretty much defenseless. And I was really fortunate, and I can see, looking back, how God actually used me in that inquiry and put me in certain positions at certain times to gather certain evidence against this guy. And that was a real turning point in who I believed I was. I then roll it on again. I'm now involved in a surveillance team. So I'm now following some of the most horrendous people that you are likely to meet. These are people that you will meet in the street and go, not sure I like that person. Not sure I connected. You know, do you know what I'm saying? Do you have that with some people in life? I always think it now, like if I meet friends that I haven't seen for 20 odd years and I meet them. I did it the other day. Well, I met, I was best man, wasn't I? 30 years ago. And I reconnected with him. So it's that connection, that spiritual connection. And I was trying to use that in my police career and certain other things that I did as we went along. And it was always making me into the man that I'd be. Have I read the Bible yet? No. That's because this is the introduction. So what I want to say to you, because we've got 1 minute left, is that in all of that, at the same time, my Christian life was trying to cope with my police career, my adult life, my fathering of my children, being a husband to the wife that I should be. And, do you know, I keep looking back and always looking back to that childhood of trying to fit in. And one of the things I became in my previous church was one of the elders, and one of the things that me and one of the other leaders always used to say to each other is we need to press on. We need to press on towards God's favour, towards his plan for our life. And I have that verse ringing round in me all the time about pressing on. And one of the reasons I've done that is because I actually believe that he wants me to keep pressing on. And one of the things that I've done recently in pressing on with him is to go on Empower. And for those of you that know, it's a course that is connected to this church. Now, Empower has also helped me to press in. For some of you, that might be in the wrong order, and you have to forgive me, but this is what it means to me. So to press in is we need to press in to understanding what God has provided for us to help us as we press on. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we've pressed on in life. We've taken all our life experiences. I've become the man now that I am. Okay, so roll me back maybe 3 years. Okay, I'm part of the start of this church. I'm also what's called a street pastor. And I run the local group, and I also do other things within the street pastoring. But that is not who I am. That is what I do. Who I am is a young, middle-aged man with a belief in Jesus, with a belief that God created the world and that we mucked it up, so he sent his son to die for me. And that means all of us as well, because we are all the same. So I had to press on believing in those things. While I'm a young police officer, while I'm being run around, while I'm being bruised in doing my career, while I'm trying to be a Christian in the workplace, which for some of us sometimes is hard. However, we have as much right as anybody else in the workplace as having an opinion and as having something to say. So when the office is chatting, when your work colleagues are all saying different things, just believe at that moment you have as much right as anybody else to have an opinion. And don't worry what they think, okay? They're not worried about what you think about their opinion, so just give it anyway. Join in. Be assured at that moment. So press on into the full life that Jesus wants you to have. And press in means to press in to understand some of the gifts that he has got and supplied to you to help you keeping your eyes focused on him and his plan. So can anybody think of a gift that he's applied for us that we can press into? Healing. Any others? Prophecy. Relationship with the Holy Spirit. Discernment. Any else? Faith. I wrote them all down, so I knew that I'd, impress you with my knowledge. Interpretation, tongues, spirits, prophecy, knowledge, faith, healing, wisdom, which is something that he's really blessed me with. Glad you laughed then, because that was a joke. So, I know, it's a sort of a double-edged joke. It's a joke about myself, but I believe it. So, press on, keep our eyes focused on him and his plans for our lives, but believe in that passage where it tells us what he supplied for us. To press in to the things that he's given you access to. Not just me. To press in. To believe that he loves you like a father. I do need to read from the Bible. So the thing I'm going to finish with is this. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 12. Pressing on towards the goal. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of all of it, because I am still pressing on. But one thing I do know, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And the goal that he has for you, for me, in our lives, is to spend the rest of our lives with him. So my prayer is that as we understand who we are, because we've all been given different gifts, we're all leading different lives. If you want to find out a bit more about my testimony, the story of my life, I have done a couple of videos, and one of them is on YouTube. And if you put Noisy Phil in YouTube, then you'll probably get me on the stage at the gathering a couple of years ago. So if you want to join the dots as to my police career, because one of the things I've completely not told you about, and that might be something I can come back to and tell you another day, and it's really interesting because I've not told you anything about this, but I nearly died in a car crash, and that's another talk that I do. But that is online. So if you want to fill the gaps, if you want to find out a little bit more about why I can now stand as a man in front of you and share these things, then that will give you a bit more of the essence. But I do press on, and I do press in, and I believe what the Lord says, and I believe he's my good father. Can we pray? So Heavenly Father, I just pray that these words will come into our spirits right now. That whoever we are, whatever stage in life we're at, on our journey of our understanding of you, some of us, Father, will be sitting here today with maybe very little knowledge of you and the things of you and the stories that we read in the Bible and your influence over the world at this time, Lord. We may be sitting here from a very angry point of view to where are you when we need you, or a little understanding, or we're going through things in life that that we're sitting here now, right now, Father, thinking, well, that guy at the front, it's okay for him, but it doesn't mean me because of where I am at. But we pray against those lies right now. We pray against the work of the evil one that always seeks to undermine. And even now, we've just heard a story. We've been involved in this congregation for the last hour or so. And even now, he's just trying to think how he can work on us. I pray, Father, that you protect us at this moment, that you work with the words that we've just been hearing, that you work with our emotions, with our memories, with the things that we believe about ourselves. Lord, we want to see you rooted in our lives more and more as we press on and press in to understanding the tools that you have given us, the gifts that you've supplied for us for our lives every single step of the day. So if there's anybody here, Father, that today that doesn't know you yet, doesn't fully understand that you know them, that you have provided all the things for them, I pray for them right now in the precious name of Jesus. And if there's anybody listening to this afterwards, I pray for you, whoever you are listening to this story from a young middle-aged man, that you will understand something of this message for you, to help you in your life, to help you move on, to help you to understand that the God I'm talking about knows you and is there for you as well. So I pray all these things, believing utterly in the Lord my Father, in Jesus' Son, and the gifts and the Holy Spirit who was sent for us all. So press on, press in. Amen.